Good morning to you all. I believe there are first-time visitors here this morning. Who is a first-time visitor this morning? Thank you for being with us this morning. It's an amazing thing. You could have gone elsewhere. You hadn't. So you're here by divine appointment, we believe. We trust that you will be blessed as you fellowship with us. And thank you for the privilege. We pray for a speedy recovery for poor Isaac. When I listened to his voice note, man, if he felt as bad as he sounded, he's really not feeling well. So it's a privilege for us to be here this morning. It's a privilege to share the word. It's a privilege always for us to have an opportunity to share from God's word. And we believe each of us are here by a divine appointment this morning. Nobody's here by chance or by accident. So we've managed to just stay in front of the gale force westerly that's on its way from Jeffreys Bay. So on our way back, Lord willing, we will be driving into the gale force west wind unless the direction changes. So before we open the word, shall we just close our eyes in prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the Lord's Day, a day of rest, a day, Father, in which we can assemble in this fashion, a day in which you prompted us by your Spirit to come up to the Lord's house, to sit under the sound of your word. And Father, we know that it is your word that unless you speak by your Spirit, our gathering is in vain. Father, so we pray that you would take your word and cause it to become life to us. We confess this morning, Lord, that we fall short. We fall short of the direction that you've given us in your word. We fall short of each and every requirement of your word, and we pray your forgiveness. We pray, Father, that you would cleanse us afresh with the blood of the Lamb, that nothing be found in any of us this morning that may in any way whatsoever inhibit your working in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your Bibles and page to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read the first four verses from Ephesians chapter 6. This is Paul writing to the Ephesian church. And this is what he says to them in chapter 6. He addresses children and he says, children, now if I may only see by a show of hands who is not a child this morning. Okay, you got that part figured out. Great stuff. What am I doing here? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ouch. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Thus far the reading from the Lord's word. Last year in July, I had the privilege to share at our home church. And the topic, the title was, How Are You Doing, Dad? So I saw the moms relaxing. And after the service, some of the sisters came to me and they said to me, my husband should have been here this morning. So I thought, well, I'll pray that you are here next time I have the opportunity. So the next time we're asked the question, How Are You Doing, Mom? And some of them went silent. So the title here is, How Are You Doing, Child? So none of us is excluded this morning. Here's a question. If babies were sold in a Just Add Water jar in a retail store, included was a little leaflet and a fact sheet detailing all its future features and attributes. Do you think your parents would have bought you? If they knew you were going to be rebellious, disobedient, ungrateful, selfish, quarrelsome, wise in your own eyes, demanding, insolent, dishonest, lazy, uncaring, disrespectful, aggressive, scornful, would they have chosen you? Maybe some of you would have had second thoughts about parenthood as well, coming to your own children. Would it have influenced their choice in any way whatsoever had they known that you would cause them heartache and pain, sleepless nights, endless grief and sorrow? Had they known that you would... Sorry, but there's something happening here. My notes keep on slipping underneath this thingy. Maybe I should have had more notes. Does Isaac always have more notes than I have? I think so. Had they known that you would scorn them, that you would ignore them, that you would avoid them, that you would criticize them, that you would abandon and reject them when they're old? If the leaflet said all or even some of these things about you and I, they may have had second thoughts about parenthood. I'm convinced in my heart of hearts that regardless of any infirmities, whether they be physical, spiritual, emotional, psychological, contained in that leaflet, if that leaflet said that this child, when he or she grows up, will honor you, that it would have moved them to choose you. That is, of course, if they had a choice. But here's the problem. They didn't have a choice. The divine hand that assigned you to your mother's womb obligated you to do so. For children to honor their parents. It's part of the terms and conditions. It's in the fine print. It's in the leaflet. It's not a given. It is an instruction to the child with a promise of a reward. And that instruction applies to all of us. Paul in Ephesians 6 speaks to the children. And you may sit and you may argue and you may try and figure out and say, yeah, Johan, you're missing the point. He's talking to minors there. Hold your horses just for a brief moment. The Greek term that Paul is using here is the word techna. The word techna has no age-related limitation to it. So that applies to children of all ages. So there's nobody excluded this morning. However, the biblical injunction for children to obey their parents are clearly linked to age, maturity. But that's a sermon for a different occasion. One of our brothers at our home church asked me the other day, Johan, you've run out of family members. Who's next? So I said, the in-laws. He said, that was a very quick answer. You have that figured out. I said, I have that prepared. The quote from Exodus 20 and verse 12 and Deuteronomy 5:16 in his letter to the Ephesians, honor your father and mother, is the very point in case this morning. And the very point he made by quoting thus is a very, very simple one. First, children are obligated. Children, regardless of their age, are obligated. This is a command. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It doesn't sound like a suggestion, does it? It is taken from the Ten Commandments, ten clear and very definitive guidelines given to the nation of Israel. And you'd say to me, Johan, you got that part right. It was given to the nation of Israel. No, it was never annulled by God. He never retracted that particular commandment. Therefore, it is as applicable today as it was then. Paul himself says that it is a command. It is distinctly different from all the other commands. Have you noticed the Ten Commandments? Paul says, highlights and he emphasizes that this is the first commandment with a promise. It is so different, and I choose to believe it is regarded by God as so extremely important that he adds a reward to its compliance. The command worthy of reward, worthy of God's favor and his favorable consideration when the condition is met to honor your father and mother. So let us examine the emphasis and its repetition outside of the Ten Commandments. If you want a page to Leviticus 19:3, that's fine. If you want to check me out like the Bereans do, it's a good thing. You ought to do that. Leviticus 19 and verse 3, God through his servant Moses speaks as follows and instructed the people by saying, every one of you shall revere his mother and father. Some translations may translate revere with fear. Have you picked up that it's slightly different to Exodus 20? We find here a reversal of the order. Not father and mother, but instead, mother and father. We also find in Leviticus 19 then that God had upped the game somewhat. This honoring business. God had lifted and he had raised the bar to some degree. Now, not only shall you honor, but you shall also revere. Putting the mother first is not usual, but it shows that the duty is equally owed to her as to the father. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this particular section, writes as follows, and I quote, the fear here required includes inward reverence and esteem, an outward expression of respect, obedience to the lawful commands of parents, care and endeavor to please them and make them easy, to avoid everything that may offend and grieve them and incur their displeasure. The Jewish doctors ask then, what is this fear that is owing to the Father? And they answer, it is not to stand in his way, nor to sit in his place, not to contradict what he says, nor to carp at it, not to call him by his name, either living or dead, but you shall call him Father or Sir. It is to provide for him if he be poor and the like. Children, when they grow up, must not think themselves discharged from this duty. Every man, though he be a wise man and a great man, yet must reverence his parents, because they are his parents. Close quote. Here's the question. Having heard that, how are you doing? How are you doing? How serious was God when he gave this command? And it's important for us to examine and to have a look and a peep into the heart of God when he gave this command. Did he really intend us to take it as far as Matthew Henry suggests? Some of us would say, please not. Let it not be so. We often attribute a child's disgraceful and his disrespectful and insolent behavior to their age or stage. At times, parents often incubate disrespect with their children and the dishonor which they then display, because the parents fall short of correcting them at a young age. Children who call and address their parents by their first names. Children who lift their hands toward their parents, no matter the age. Who raise their voices and speak to their parents as if they are their peers. Who yell at them. Who would swear at them. Who reject, ignore, and ridicule them. Such behavior is not of God, and it can and will never please God, regardless of the child's age. God demands of a child to honor his mother and his father. Unfortunately for us, this doesn't come naturally. The parent has a role to play in enabling the child to obey this command. Proverbs 29:15 clearly speaks to this. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself causes shame to his mother. Secondly, there are consequences. For you and I, there are consequences for non-compliance. If you want to page to Leviticus 20 and verse 9 and read it in your own Bible, and maybe highlight it. Yes, you may highlight in your Bible, or maybe underline it if you wish. If you read the Bible on a tablet like Moses did, then maybe you would like to press one of those buttons and highlight it. Because this may be a revelation to you. Leviticus 20 and verse 9 says as follows. everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. Here's the thing. In God's mind, cursing a parent is a capital offense, deserving of death. And says verse 9, the child has only himself to blame. His blood shall be upon him. He brought it upon himself. How many of us would have been around this morning? How many of us would have been able to get up if this particular injunction and instruction had been in operation? I don't think any of us. Or let me say, maybe few of us. And I said to my wife after I've prepared that I had so much repentance to do. Because God by His Spirit had spoken to my heart about so many foolish things that I'd said and done and thought about my own parents. So when I speak not to you only. But this is the Word of God and we can't soften it. The key word here is curse. And we may make the mistake of thinking, oh, but cursing is swearing, using swear words towards our parents. And we'll make a very big mistake if we think that is what it means and its only meaning. It cuts much wider than that. It includes to revile, to criticize in an abusive and an angry manner, to speak evil of and to treat them with contempt. God is serious about a child honoring, fearing, revering, holding in high opinion, respecting, appreciating, admiring, having a high regard for and thinking highly of his mother and father. God says, it shall be done. I'm not asking your permission. I'm not asking your approval. It shall be done. Period. So here's the thing, brother and sister, friend. If you harbor any hostility in your heart toward any of your parents, dead or alive, be it father or mother, be sure God has a serious problem with that. You may even be tempted to produce a spiritual counter-argument to justify your stance and your attitude towards your parents. You may say, Johan, but they were emotional wrecks. They were physically and spiritually abusing. They were emotionally challenging people. But beware. Proverbs 19 and verse 26 says as follows, he that doeth violence to his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. Anita and I had the unfortunate occasion the past 2 weeks to encounter a young lady who is possibly the most disrespectful person her age that I've ever met in all my life. She obviously feels herself justified to speak the way she does, to do the things that she does. But she brings a reproach upon her parents. And I think they will be saddened if they had heard and seen how she behaved and spoke. The Pharisees had always been out at trying to outdo Jesus in some way or another. And they thought that they had found a justifiable reason for children to deprave their parents. So let's pick up on this conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, we'll read a few verses from Matthew and see what it says. Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 1. The scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." So the Pharisee says, "This is a big deal." Jesus answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" You see, he doesn't say the commandment of the elders. He says the commandment of God. You complain about the tradition of the elders. There are things that God had said that you disregard. And this is what he says in verse 4. "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God.'" Some translations may use the word "is korban." I'll explain it just now. "Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God to no effect by your traditions." You see what the Pharisees had done? They'd introduced a rule which is called to this day korban. Anything and everything that you have amassed through your life, if you pronounce korban over that, whatever it is, it means it is dedicated to the temple. And it can never, ever be retracted. It can never be made undone. And this is what the Pharisees had taught children should do, leaving the parents destitute in their old age. And that's the issue that Christ is picking with the Pharisees here. But there's a noteworthy observation that one should make from Matthew chapter 15, and that is that Christ waived the promise that follows on "obey and honor your parents" in favor of the condemnation that we read of in Exodus 21 and verse 17. "Whoever curses his father or his mother or treats them contemptuously must be put to death." In view of this, it cannot then be argued that Christ had no intention of pointing out to the Pharisees their practice, that the denying of parents the service and relief that is due to them and teaching others such was tantamount to cursing, and therefore deserving of death. Now, the Pharisees' teaching was a tradition of man. It wasn't an instruction of God. Proverbs 28 and verse 24 says, "Whoso robs his father or his mother and say it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." Let's just check in. How are you doing? You still okay? How are you doing? Now, as we speak, as we are assembled in this beautiful place on the Lord's Day, as we speak, there are parents dying emotionally because there's no room for them in their children's busy schedules. No time for a visit. No time for a phone call. No time for a WhatsApp. Because they are too busy. And they justify that busyness by saying, I've engaged and I'm pouring out all my energy in a charitable organization or some other noble cause, and it keeps me occupied. In fact, they've made that korban. Deprived their parents of time, friendship, elderly parents, many are left to figure out for themselves in this ever-changing world, sometimes with the help of strangers, how to survive in a world of banking apps, of QR codes, online submissions and applications and cell phone updates and online shopping. Not all elderly parents are forced to depend on social security assistance from the government, but some do. Some do. Those who do, not all of them were reckless with their finances when they were raising families. Consider that their dedication to their children's education and care while growing up may have contributed to their financial woes that they are experiencing at the moment. This is what Proverbs 23 and verse 22 says. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she's old. My brother and sister, I dare to say it doesn't matter how much we try and justify ourselves. It does not annul the command. And Christ affirmed it in his conversation with the Pharisees. Nothing can supersede this command. And we ought to note that God's command is unconditional. It does not say honor them provided they are perfect and upright and well behaved. God demands compliance in spite of who they are. Are you ashamed of them? God commands you to honor them. Are they sluggards? Maybe they're alcoholics. That's no excuse not to honor them. Have they abused you? Have they treated you like scum? That's no excuse not to honor them. Have they disinherited you? God commands you to honor them. God commands you and I to honor our parents, alive or dead, in spite of what they are, in spite of what they have done. But why? Quite frankly, simply because they're your parents. So appointed by God. Period. Neither parent nor child had a choice or a say in the matter. It is by divine appointment and not by human intervention that you were born into that family. That's why they are worthy to to be honored. Always. God appointed them. Mother Teresa, when she visited an old age home in the United States, she saw that all the old elderly people weren't smiling. It concerned her. So she asked, why aren't they smiling and why are they all just sitting, facing the door? To both these questions, the answer was a penetrating one. And this was the answer. They are waiting for someone to come. When my late mom-in-law was in an old age home, Anita and I went to see her, and at the front entrance sat an elderly lady on a bench. And every time we went there, that was where we found her, looking at the door. Each and every person that entered made her look up. And she was waiting for someone to come. Those who curse, those who dare neglect their parents, as far as God is concerned, expressed in Leviticus 19, is deserving of death. But praise be to God for those who do honor their parents, who do not curse them. There is a reward. It awaits only those who have met with this condition. A beautiful condition, promise verse. God says that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, from the text, one can draw the inference then that one of the areas in which to look, one of the areas to examine, one of the areas to explore, if it is not well with you, is this area. A lack of, or a resistance, or a refusal to honor one's parents. The reward is twofold. First, he says, it may be well with you, whether it be general or specific, it doesn't matter. God says it will be well with you. We sing the song, it is well with my soul. And he says, that you may live long. And that's not a promise that you will make 125, like my brother-in-law said. I don't want to be around him at the age of 100. And I said to him, I'm not going to stick around and wait for you, Bruder. I'm on my way out. The sooner the better. That you may live long, whether it be physically or spiritually. Doesn't matter. What matters is that God will always rise to the occasion. He'll always come to the table. He'll always keep his word. That's important. And that is your and my security. God said it. That seals it. Dusted. Done. Nobody can undo it. God will be pleased with us if and when we comply, and even herein, he set a perfect example for us. And I'm closing with two examples. No, that's four. I'm closing with two examples. From Scripture. There may be more. I'm quoting two. The first one is David. A man whom God said was a man after his own heart. You will probably know that David fled before Saul. Saul was trying to kill him. So David fled and he hid in the cave of Adullam, according to 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1. It is also stated that his entire house joined him, his brothers, his sisters, his father, his mother, and a number of dissidents. And he became the leader of this group of people. Now Saul was after David, so inevitably those who were with him, their lives were endangered as well. And listen to what David did. David went to the king. He went to King Moab. 1 Samuel 22 and verse 3. And this is what he asked of the king. He says, "Please, let my father and mother come here with you." Not the other guys. Not even his brother and his sister. His other siblings. He said, let my mom and dad come here with you. Till I know God, what God will do for me. Verse 4 says, "So he brought them before the king of Moab. And they, his mom and dad, dwelt with him, King Moab, all the time that David was in the stronghold." I don't know about you. But I certainly don't find many people around anymore like David. I don't find that many grown-ups who take care of mom and dad. Yes, my wife and my children, my first responsibility. God had never annulled. He had never drawn a line through my responsibility to honor my parents. With his parents safe and secure, David moved on. His priorities are displayed, they are recorded in Scripture for us to read and learn from. He executed them well and in accordance with Scripture. The last example, and with this I close, that I would like to quote is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In his darkest hour, with the sins of the world weighing heavily upon him, hanging on a cross, beaten to a pulp, shedding his blood, stripped naked, humiliated, the crowds crying, "Crucify, crucify, crucify him," inflicted almost beyond recognition. John records, and it's the only gospel to record it, an occasion that is so brief that we can miss it. You can page with me to John chapter 19. Verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." When Jesus therefore saw his mother, And the disciple whom he loved, that's John, standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And to John he said, "Behold your mother." Now listen to how verse 27 ends. "And from that hour," that disciple, that is John, "took her to his own home." With you and I in mind, Christ had not forgotten his mom. She was taken care of. And he proceeded to cross the very last hurdle when he exclaimed, "Tes teletai," it is finished. And in so doing, he enabled you and I to do exactly the same. To repent if we have failed. To be empowered to comply. And we have all failed. Failure is not the end. There is always time to make right. And maybe if God had spoken to your heart about your relationship with your parents today, maybe then today is the day in which you ought to make right. Maybe then today is the day in which you have to approach them, and whether you have to ask their forgiveness. Whether they forgive you or not doesn't matter. It's important for you. It's important for your relationship with the living God. It's important for your peace. Maybe then today is the day that you should beg God's forgiveness if your parents had passed, like mine had, and ask him to forgive you for the foolishness that you've displayed, even in your Christian walk, maybe even, and having dishonored them, sometimes unknowingly so. But in my heart of hearts, I believe that at this very moment, you can't say, "Lord, I never knew," because he will hold us accountable for the knowledge that we have. Father, we thank you for your word. And we have to confess this morning, Lord, that we have all failed. We have all fallen short of the mark that you've set before us. Now here's the difficult thing, Father. The difficult thing is for us to acknowledge that we have failed. The difficult thing for us is to confess that we have not honored our parents the way we should have. And maybe even more difficult is to face them and beg their forgiveness if we have failed them and where we have failed them. Work in their hearts, Father, these precious folk. All of us are children. And by your divine hand, you had placed us in families. We had not chosen that family. We had not chosen those parents, neither did they choose us as their child. So, Father, help us to do the right thing, and help us to do it henceforth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.